desired interest in your prayers. We're thankful to be here this morning. We thank the Lord for the gift of salvation, for His love, His mercy, for His kindnesses unto us. We're thankful for each one that's here. Have some thoughts we'd like to share with you by the grace of God. We'd like for the congregation to turn to number 246 and sing verse 1, please.
It may not be at the battle's front, my Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice He calls the paths that I do not know, I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in Thine. I'll go where You want me to go. I'll go where You want me to go, dear Lord, over mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what You want me to say, dear Lord.
Amen. Thank you for that song. We appreciate the goodness of God, His love, and His mercy. I'm thinking of this part. I'll go where You want me to go, dear Lord. Over mountain or plain or sea, I'll say what You want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what You want me to be. And I'd just like to say that I don't believe there's any greater thing that you can do, any better place you can be than to be just where God wants you to be. And to be doing exactly what God wants you to do. We'd like to speak to you some about walk in the Spirit. There's a lot to be covered that we don't know and understand. But I'm sure there are many here that know deep down within what it means to walk in the Spirit. How many people here are acquainted with walking in the Spirit? Amen. There are some hands. May the Lord bless us. I don't think you would find a dictionary definition about walking in the Spirit. So you might say that I made up my own. But I'm thinking about walking in the Spirit. That at any given time, you are exactly where God wants you. Doing exactly what He wants you to do. And I'd like to say, to me, it is one of the benefits of sanctification. It is a wonderful thing to be under the direct direction of the Spirit of God. It's a wonderful thing to be, as I would say, in sync with the Spirit of God. I remember one time I was watching a video and there were three leopards. And they were going in for a charge or sneaking up on some animal. And what kind of got me was the fact that they were all three moving together as one. Their feet were coming together in slow motion, but they were all moving at the same time. I want to encourage you to walk in the Spirit. I want to encourage you to realize that that is an important and vital part of your life. I want to encourage you that It doesn't mean that you're not saved. And I don't necessarily believe that it means you're not sanctified. But I believe it's a very important, vital part of your life that you need to be seeking God concerning. You know, the Word of God says redeeming the time because the days are evil. I like to say that walking in the Spirit will redeem the time and save you steps. You know, many times we are not walking in the Spirit. Now, Hebrews, the 6th chapter and verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. You know, I appreciate the principles of the doctrine of Christ, but I just want to say that there's more that God has for you. Let us go on to perfection. There's more that God has for the people of God. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now, I'm a firm believer in the Word of God that lets us know that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. But I don't want you to, as you go through life, entertain all your time trying to figure out perhaps a question of how much sin can I do and yet walk with the Lord? God actually has a deeper and a better experience for you as you go along the way. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. In St. John, the 10th chapter, we find that Jesus is saying that I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pastures. We don't want to get it in our mind that he's speaking about going in and going in and out of the door and things like that. But he's saying going in and going on out and finding pasture. There are a lot of things that God has for you and I. I have a deep concern that sometimes we're not actually getting all the benefits that God has for us. You know, I have a truck and I can get in that truck and drive that truck, and there's a lot of things about and a lot of things in that truck that I don't know how to operate. But I believe that God, concerning salvation and sanctification, that God wants us to go in, and not only go in, but God has a lot of green pastures out there that I'm afraid that many of us, and myself included, have never experienced. But it's something that is actually there for us by the grace of God. We find the Apostle Paul also speaking. He's bringing out some things over in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, as we begin to look at verse 13. And he's speaking there. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. You know, I don't know it all. I don't understand all things. But he said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. There are still yet some things before us. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a high calling for the people of God. I want to encourage you to get involved with that high calling. I'm not trying to just maybe encourage you to lean around by the beginning and, well, I know I'm saved and, well, I believe I'm sanctified, but I want to encourage you the fact that there is actually a high calling in Christ Jesus. I don't want to say the wrong thing, but you can get in the army and you can learn all the things that are in the army, and that's good. But they also have in the army what they call the special forces. And I believe that God wants more in people to enlist, as it were, in the special forces. Not just the average everyday, and I'm not trying to teach pride or anything like that, but there is something more that we can have by the grace of God.
for the high calling in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the word of God is speaking there that he gave some apostles and he gave some prophets. And it goes on to say, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. See, there is actually a place that God wants to bring us to that's better than where we are right now. For the perfecting of the saints. God wants to actually work of perfecting, perfection in you. Amen. God wants to draw closer to you. I think about how that I can look back on life and I can see many, many places and no doubt others. I believe it's a very common thing. You can look back and see many places where that you can say, as the songwriter Uncle Eulis said, I know my Savior's hand is guiding me. I believe that somebody else wrote a book and they said, guided by the unseen hand. They're talking about some of the same things. But I'm thinking about how that also I can look back in life and I can see some places where I can definitely say that I don't believe that. I know I wasn't walking in the Spirit there. And no doubt we all can see places. And I'm not necessarily, what I'm speaking about, I'm not necessarily talking about a place where you're looking back and you're saying that I was in sin. But I'm talking about back in a place where you can look back and realize that I was not walking in the Spirit. The thing is, I believe that God wants us to draw closer to Him, where that we can get more in a place where we can begin to eliminate those places where we're not walking in the Spirit. Now, there may be many places where that we can look at and say that, you know, I know that God is leading and directing right at this particular time. But I'm thinking about those places where we can also look and see that, you know, I just can't really say that God was directing there. We want to have more of that by the grace of God. The word says in Jeremiah, the 12th chapter in verse 5, it speaks that if thou hast run with the footmen and they weary thee, how canst thou contend with the horses? And in the land of peace where thou treadest, they weary thee. It speaks about how canst thou deal in the land of war or something to that nature. But we're thinking about the deeper things that God has for us. Jeremiah 12, if thou hast run with the footmen, they weary thee. Then how canst thou contend with the horses? And if the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? See, we actually need more. There's more that you can have by the grace of God. There's another portion of Scripture that speaks about that he led me to the waters and it was up to the ankles, I believe it says. Then it speaks about, I believe, being to the knees and up to the loins. And then after a while, it said waters to swim in. There are some of the deep things of God that God has for you and I. In Ezekiel over in the 11th chapter and about verse 9, the word is speaking over there. And he's saying, I will put my Spirit in you. And I will cause you to keep my ways. And walk in my statutes. See, this is not a new thing. This reaches even over into the Old Testament times. I just want to encourage you of some of the benefits that God has for you as you walk this Christian way. In Genesis, the 5th chapter and verse 24, old brother Enoch over there, it says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, Enoch walked with God. This is way, way back. Enoch was walking with God. Now, I don't know what all he did to do that. But I just wonder if he got to the place where all the times where he wasn't walking with God were eliminated out of his life. Those spaces where we have that we can't really look back and say that I know my Savior's hand is guiding me. There are those kind of places. Now, there are people that are not walking with God. They may be religious people, but it means a lot to walk with God. It means a lot to be under the direct direction of the Spirit of God. Now, over in Jonah, the first chapter, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, if you have any questions, I want to let you know that Jonah was not walking in the Spirit. Amen. He's not going the direction that God wants him to go. He's not actually doing what God wants him to do. And I have my own doubts. Maybe I'm being too critical, but I have my own doubts that even after he finally went down there and preached to Nineveh and did the things that God told him to do, that he still was not in harmony with the Spirit of God. You find Jonah still arguing with God. You find Jonah still disputing with God. But I'm talking about actually being in harmony with the Spirit of God. I'm not talking about actually lining up with what everybody else wants you to do, but I'm talking about being in harmony with the Spirit of God, praise the Lord. Getting in a place where you're actually listening to the voice of God. You know, I want to know this morning, does it actually mean anything to you to be in harmony with the Spirit of God? Does it actually mean anything to you to be in sync with the Spirit of God? Or is it a type of thing that, well, I can just go on my way and, you know, I touch bases with God every now and then and seem like sometime we're doing pretty good. Sometime I don't know just where he is or what's going on with him. But, you know, I want to be in harmony with God. I want to be in sync with God. I want to walk with God. I desire that, to have that more. I believe it's a good thing for you to have that more in your life, walking with God. In Genesis, the third chapter in verse 8, we find that Adam and Eve, after they had did what they did in the garden, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. You know, the Lord was desirous to walk with them, but they hid themselves. They did not want to avail themselves of the presence of the Lord. Do you want to walk with the Lord? Do you want the Lord to sit down beside you and talk with you? It's not something far away. I enjoy talking with the Lord. I'm not saying I talk with him 24/7. Now, to me, that would be something to press forward to. You know, the songwriter said, with him I have constant communion. That, to me, that's going on out there. I can't say I'm always there. But it's something to press for. Being able to walk with God. Now, we have Brother Balaam over there. And he was desirous to go down there and curse some people. The Lord told him not to go. We see over in Numbers, the 22nd chapter, it says in verse 27, and when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled. And he smote the ass with his staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? But you find the angel says, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel. This man was not walking with the Spirit. Amen. He was out of harmony. Going completely against what God wanted him to do. But we can be in harmony. I want to encourage you to have more of those places in your life where that You're actually in harmony with God, in sync with God, actually being led by the Spirit of God. It's not something far away, but you actually need this actually actively working in your life. In Acts the 8th chapter in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south. Now, I don't know what they were doing, whether it's in the midst of a revival meeting or whatever it is. But I'm going back again to the thought of the special forces. You know, those people, from what I understand, they are people that go in behind the enemy line. They're people that with the training they have, they can't afford to make any mistakes. And a lot of time, these people, they can be told things to do. They can't even discuss it with their family. But you can actually be in contact with God. You know what I'm thinking of? Maybe you're going along. We do a lot of texting these days. And maybe that's outdated. Maybe it's all Facebook and a whole lot of other things. But I'm saying that God has a way of communicating with us. And we might be going along in a service wherever it is. God may speak something to us. We want to be obedient. We want to be moved by the Spirit. You know, the Word of God speaks. Believe when the Lord is talking over there to Nicodemus. You know, art thou ruler and knoweth not these things? And then Jesus begins to bring out to him that the wind bloweth. We knoweth not where it cometh from or whence it goeth. So is he that is born of the Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, I can't sit down and write a book and dictate and tell you all the different ways that God is going to lead you and guide you and direct you in life. Who knows what the Spirit is going to say? Who knows how the Spirit is going to lead? But the Spirit said unto Philip, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And he arose and went. See, obeying God. And he got there and he was actually at the right place at the right time. Now I think about the Word and how it says that there's a place where God is speaking concerning Christ. And he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know what? Jesus was able to give the report. I do always those things that please the Father. You know, I wish I was actually there. But that's a big testimony. But Christ was able to give it. I do always those things that please the Father. So he was there. And he was at the right place at the right time. You know, I've had some of those incidents. I don't want to just go into all of them, but there's been incidents where God has led. I can look back and realize that, you know, I was at the right place, the right time, that God actually got in there and God actually led me the way that I went. I was traveling one time, went to a family dinner, Gracie Christmas dinner. And coming back, we were traveling on Highway 81. Several of my siblings in their cars. And seemed like something just kept trying to get me to leave that Highway 81 and get on I-35. So I finally did. I got over on I-35. Went about a mile and came across my uncle that was in a vehicle accident. And his vehicle had turned over. And my cousin had died. But I feel that God led me directly to be right over there. That's not a strange thing. That's not to be a new type thing. That's what happened in the biblical times. That's what actually happens today. You know, now it speaks about Philip. Now in verse 39, it says, and when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. You know, but the thought that I have that crosses my mind, was this just an incident with Philip? Or did Philip, the Spirit, led him from there right on to someplace else? And when the Spirit got through with him there, the Spirit took him somewhere else. And I'm thinking about getting in a place where you're in constant communion. In a place where God's Spirit is continually leading you as you go through life. You know, and I don't want to get scriptures twisted up. But I think about the Word of God and how that it speaks it with Moses. That there is a place by me. And I'm thinking about the secret place. You know, and I think about the scripture says that he that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, there may be many people that say that, well, I have been to Mount Rushmore. You know, I've been to the Statue of Liberty, they might say. But I'm thinking how many say that, well, I actually live at Mount Rushmore. See, he that dwelleth in the secret place. It's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing to be able to say that I've actually been there. Praise the Lord. But I believe it's quite another thing to say that I live there. I actually dwell there. I stay in that secret place. I can't say that I'm there yet. But there, you know, it speaks over there in the scripture says that, yet I shew unto you a more excellent way. I believe that God has more for us. That God is wanting more saints that are actually walking in the Spirit. I believe that God wants more people that are yielded themselves to the dictates of the Spirit as they go along the way. So I question, you know, did Philip just continually be led by the Spirit? I don't really know. But he was directly led by the Spirit of God. You find over in Luke, the second chapter. And this is, I believe, where they were bringing Jesus in over in Luke, the second chapter, in verse 25. And it says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And it says, and he came by the Spirit. Now, to me, that's a little bit different. He just didn't walk in there by happenstance. He came by the Spirit. I believe that the Spirit was actually leading him to go into the temple. And I think about the Word of God, I believe you find over in Matthew, the fourth chapter. It's, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I can't stand here and tell you that, well, if you're led by God's Spirit, you won't get in any trouble. It may be that that's the path that God has for you, but wherever you are, have you been led there by the Spirit? Praise the Lord. You know, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when you read over there concerning Elijah, this man was walking in the Spirit when he was there on Mount Carmel, and he said, who was on the Lord's side? You know, and then he prayed, and the Lord sent down the fire from heaven, praise the Lord. You know, but then something happened to him, and he found himself, and then there was another place where I believe the Spirit of the Lord was on him, and he ran in front of the horses, praise God. You know, he was right there where God wanted him to be, and God empowered him with strength from on high. But then he found himself running from Jezebel, and he was out there somewhere, and you know, the Lord came to him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? He was in a place where the Spirit hadn't led him. He was walking in the Spirit. But he got to a place where he made his own decisions. And the Lord says, what doest thou here, Elijah? But Simeon came by the Spirit. Amen. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit. And then I believe it says that Jesus came and went in the power of the Spirit. When he left that, he came and left in the power of the Spirit. It's a vital part. It needs to be a vital part of our experience. He that dwelleth in the secret place. You know, you got Brother David over there. Saul is seeking after him. You know, and the Word of God speaks that he'll lead you and guide you. The Lord wants to lead us. He wants to guide us as we go along the way. I don't want you to just go out there in life and use your intellect, your eyes, and use your ears, and use your five senses to try to figure out what you should be actually be doing in life. I want you to get acquainted with the Spirit of God so the Spirit of God can begin to actually direct your life. David is going out there, and Saul is wanting to kill him. And David sums it up, and he says, there is but a step between me and death. You know, he's having to do some close stepping. Now, in my mind, I can visualize, and the word talks that there was out there on a mountainside or a hill or something, a mountain, and Saul was on one side, and David was on the other. And I can visualize David out there just simply being guided by the Spirit of God. David walked a little bit this way, and the Spirit's like, no, walk over here. And he walks over that way, and the Spirit leads him back over this way. And then the Spirit says, do this, and the Spirit says, do that. And Saul's on the other side talking about this and trying to do this and trying to do that. And the Spirit's like looking down on both of them and telling David exactly what to do. See, God's got your back, praise the Lord. Amen. If we can just get in a place where we can actually listen to him, the Spirit of God is right. But can we get in a place, a songwriter said, oh, for grace to trust him more. I was going along, driving a big grain truck years ago. And they gave us leave that we could take the truck home. And every time I thought about taking the truck home, the Spirit would check me. You know, what do you do when the Spirit checks you? You know, the Word of God says, let the thoughts of my heart and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Man, I didn't quote it just right. But it's saying, let it be acceptable in thy sight. You know, God is right there through his Spirit. He's right there to check us with the very thoughts that we think. You know, I'm thinking of something. You can get into proofreading. Talk about my daughter a little bit. But anyway, when my brother Nathaniel died, we were there at the mortuary. And I was signing the papers and doing different things like that. And they were getting the program and all the obituary readiness. And so I was supposed to approve it. And I thought, well, it's pretty straightforward. You know, just read it over and see what it is. So I read it over and it looked pretty good. And so my daughter was right there. And she was, no, I didn't read it over. The lady didn't have it ready. But she told the lady, when you get it ready, I believe she said, email it to me so she could proofread it. You ever heard of spell check? Amen. So the lady got it ready and sent it to her. And my daughter went down through there, and I don't know if she found maybe 5 to 16 different errors and sent it back to her. And then the lady corrected a lot of those things. And she sent it back again. And she went back down through it and spell checked and found a bunch of more errors and sent it back again. And see, the third time, they got it all right. But I'm saying that, are you in a place where you're ready for God to proofread the thoughts of your mind? Amen. When you're in that place and you're meditating on something and you have a mind to do this and that, are you in a place where the Spirit of God can come in and check you on it? No, don't do that. You know, you drop over there in the Word of God, and I don't remember just where it is, but you got old Brother Joseph over there. And he's thinking about Mary, and he's pondering on these things. He's in a quandary, and he's trying to figure out what to do. But, you know, the Word of God says that while he thought on these things, see, the Lord came to him in a dream, and he said, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thou espoused wife. You know, seemed like God was right there, and God is there today to actually check our thoughts. You know, you got Brother David over there, And he's over there, and, you know, and Saul is after him, as we were talking about. And, you know, Saul's after him, and finally God wraps that thing around and ends up where, I believe it's the time where Saul is in some cave, and David's right there in the cave. You talk about a time to need to be able to walk in the Spirit. But David was able to walk in the Spirit. You know, and I believe he came up and he cut off a part of Saul's garment. You know, maybe that was in the open fields two different times. But anyway, it says, and David's heart smote him. Amen. God is able to let you know you didn't do the right thing. But I'm still talking about that God could have let you know why you're thinking on it. Are you willing to listen to it? When God is thinking on it, God gives you that little check there. Are you willing to listen to him by the grace of God? The Spirit may veto the very things you're wanting to do. You know, and so what are you going to do at that time? Well, the Lord don't want me to do that. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to just give me an override. Amen. Just give me an override. And I'm going to go on and do it anyway. But the Lord seemed like the Spirit kept trying to tell me, don't drive that truck home. You know, and when the Lord says no, sometime you begin to reason it out and think about it. And, you know, finally I came to the conclusion, I don't see any reason why I should not drive the truck home. Amen. You know, you can reason with the Spirit of God. And I'll tell you something about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God just doesn't really, I started to say stand up like it should, but a lot of time it don't get up on a pedestal and just arguing with you. Just let you. Just go ahead. That's what you want to do. Go ahead. You feel pretty good. So I went ahead and just drove the truck on home anyway. And I got ready to pull in the driveway. And I swung out there to pull in the driveway. And I didn't estimate how long that trailer was. And then a part of that trailer got caught up in the ditch. And it began to tear all part of that trailer and the wheat began to fall out. Corn or whatever it was. And then I had to get my dad, my brothers, my sisters, and all of them out there that helped me trying to get this trailer patched up, trying to get all this grain up off the ground. Plus, I need to call my boss and tell him how I'd messed up the trailer. But see, the Spirit will let you go on an override if you want to. But many times you can look back and realize, I wish I would have followed the direction of the Spirit. But it's something that's actually there for us. You know, David's heart smote him. You know, and that's a good thing. And God was right there for him. You know, but then I'm not trying to sound contrary or anything like that. But, you know, I wonder what was going on with David when he saw Bathsheba. Did his heart smite him? Was there anything going on? I wonder, did the Spirit tell him that day, don't go walk on the roof? Well, you know, I usually go up there. I don't know the reason why I can't go up there. And I don't see, you know, we can get in those places. But the Spirit actually knows things. And I wonder, did he just override? I don't know. But then I wonder when he got ready to send that, you know, and I'm going to get rid of Uriah. Was there something there that did the Spirit check him? You know, did his heart smote him? Was there something there that let him know that, no, don't do that? I don't know. Did he just override it? It cost him a lot. When we override, it can cost us a lot. You know, and there are things sometimes that we don't want to even discuss. But a lot of these things are right there in front of us by the grace of God. You look over there in Acts, the 16th chapter. And you find you have Paul and Barnabas. And I don't want to wear it out, praise God. But it, you know, the word says these things are written for your learning. We need to actually learn something from them. And, you know, I want to say that, you know, Peter was a man that was filled with the Spirit of God, and God blessed him on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people got saved. I believe the man was definitely walking in the Spirit. Amen. But then you can shift gears and go on before that, and this is before that time. where he denied the Lord, he wasn't walking in the Spirit. And another time when he was there at the Mount of Transfiguration, I'm not saying he was sinning there, but you know, he said, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles. That was not walking in the Spirit, and God corrected it. People were healed by the shadow of Peter. Now, the reason I'm bringing these things up to rot some carefulness within us. You know, to get to a place that, well, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. You know, and I don't make no mistakes. But I like to say, even if we're saved and sanctified, there can be times that if we're not careful, we can find places, we can look back and realize that I was not in the Spirit. And we can realize sometime, the Lord, I wish I'd have been in the Spirit. Peter's shadow healing people. Then you got over to Galatians, the 11th chapter, 2nd chapter, in verse 2. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For to be certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. And when they were come, when the Jews were come, he withdrew himself and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. This is the same Peter, bless your heart, that preached. And 3,000 people got saved. The same Peter that his shadow was out there and people were getting healed. But this is a place in his life. I'm not trying to say that he's sinning, but I'm trying to say that he was not under the direct direction of the Spirit of God. And when we get in those places, sometimes we do well to be able to just look back and admit, I was not walking in the Spirit. Amen. I know it's a lot to swallow, but may God help us. There have been some ministers' meetings where we have to just look back and say, Lord, help us. We were not walking in the Spirit. You don't have to amen that. Amen. We can just go right on and say, I was in the Spirit. But there are places sometimes that we can actually look back and realize that, Lord, I was not in the Spirit. Lord, I wish I had been walking in the Spirit. There was an old minister one time. He was at a certain place. And I guess the house was crowded. I wasn't there. There was also a certain brother there. And he had a concern about that brother getting up and preaching. So when it came time for the word, he found himself in the pulpit. And I guess he preached. I guess it was blessed. I don't know about all those things. But, you know, God got to talking with him. And he realized that he wasn't right in what he did. And I believe he made an apology to the people there. And likewise, he came to Monarch and made an apology for it. Was he unsaved? Was he unsanctified? It was just a place where he wasn't walking in the Spirit. You know, there are some things sometimes that the Spirit of God is not directly directing us to do. I believe it was one of the, don't want to speak out of turn. But I believe it was one of the Hargraves children long years ago. And I don't remember the exact wording. Somebody might. But I believe they told their father, I feel impressed to get some ice cream out of the freezer. Now see, we can spiritualize a lot of things that we do. But is it actually led by God? You know, if we don't have it, we actually need it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Where we're led by the Spirit of God, in sync with the Spirit. I can't begin to bring to you, in my mind, any other thing that would be of greater importance than for you to learn how to get in sync with the Spirit of God, how to actually be led by the Spirit of God, and let the Spirit of God lead you and guide you and direct you through life. You know, I think about how does a minister operate out of the will of God? Amen. If the Spirit of God is leading you somewhere else, how can you stay right where you are? There's an emptiness there. There's something wrong there. Maybe the average person don't understand it. It's not about a vote. It's not about what you want to do. But the Spirit of God is leading elsewhere. And you need to walk in the Spirit. People, let them go. Let them walk in the Spirit. You know, I think of someone, I don't want to exalt anybody, but there's a lot of people that walk in the Spirit. But I think about old Brother James, Brother Husky. I was at his funeral, and the things were said to me, that was a man just given over and started walking in the Spirit. Just however God led him. Lead him to do this. Lead him to do that. In Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not how we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the mind of the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. And I would ask you today, do you want to know what is the mind of the Spirit? Do you want to know? Is it of interest to you? And I'm thinking about sometime when somebody's getting ready to make a decision or do something like that, they go around and they want to know what this one thinks and want to know what that one thinks. Well, I want to tell you something. If you begin to spend time with the Spirit of God, and if you begin to give the Spirit of God liberty, He'll begin to tell you what He thinks. Amen. And it'll get right down, that we're talking about, down to the very thoughts of the intent of your heart. And the Spirit will begin to tell you no sometimes, begin to tell you yes sometimes. And our places learn to follow the direction of the Spirit. Acts 16 chapter and verse 6. Now when they were gone to Perga in the regions of Galatia, speaking about Paul, and says, we're forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, how you deal with that? The Holy Ghost doesn't forbid you to do something. Brother, you going to do this well? If the Lord done given you a check, what are you going to do? You going to override it? Just go on and do what you want to do? That's why I think about that scripture said, Lord, if it be the Lord's will. You know, sometime I begin to wonder, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. What is God going to tell me to do? I sit down and make some plans. I say, well, learn to make your pens with pencil. Amen. Because the Lord may come along and change it. Now the songwriter said in Psalm 55 and verse 3, and now I have flung myself recklessly out like the chip on the stream of an infinite wheel. Who knows what God is doing? I pass the rough rocks with a smile and a shout, and I just let my God, His dear purpose fulfill. Let God have His way. Another songwriter said, lead me, rule me, work within me. Are you there by the grace of God? Is that a desire that you have? You know, lead me, Spirit holy in me dwelling. Ever work as thou shalt choose. All my ransom, powers, and talents for thy purpose thou shalt use. Spirit holy, all my being. May God help us. One of the benefits of sanctification, getting to where you can actually walk in the Spirit. See, all my being now possess. Lead me, rule me, work within me. Through my life, thy will express. Getting in that place where God can lead you and direct you as you go through life. May the Lord help us that by the grace of God, we can walk in the Spirit. You know, one more scripture, I believe the Lord is bring it to me, and perhaps I'll sit down if I can find it. But I believe the Lord is saying over there in And he's saying that if you walk in the Spirit, Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then he goes on to say, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now my thought is, getting to a place, amen, that 24/7 we're walking in the Spirit. 24/7. Now I know it's good to have a spell check. And I know it's good to have a proofread. And I already kind of have it set up that, you know, Lord, you can look over all my thoughts and all my plans and all my things. Seem like that, you know, they go past your desk. Amen. Go past his desk. He says, I sit down and make plans just like everybody else. But think about it, they're all passing through God. You know, and if God checks a thought, if God checks something to realize that, well, that's not going to work. But we want to be in a place that we can walk in the Spirit. Pray for me. I want to have more of that. Operating and working in my life by the grace of God. Walk in the Spirit.